last time. Okay. So tonight, we'll go through verses 20 to 38. We'll finish the chapter. We only got halfway through the chapter at the end of last year. So we'll finish the chapter, continue with the Govardhan Lila, worshipping Govardhan Hill. Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Okay, so Krishna is now speaking to Nanda Maharaj. Krishna has walked in to a situation. What is the previous chapter called? The wives of?
Brahma wives blessing.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
It's called the Brahma's wives are blessed. So what is the defect of the husbands of the Yajna Patnis? Pride, yeah. What is the defect of the Yajnik Brahmanas? The hereditary Brahmanas?
Because of higher birth and knowledge.
Yeah, attachment to higher birth and knowledge. But another point is unnecessary or overt attachment to rules and regulations of rituals. Ritualistic Brahmanas. Rupa Goswami speaks about this in Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita. It's called Niyamagraha. What is Niyamagraha? Too attached to the rules or not attached enough to the rules. Both are not good. Sometimes you see the people from India, because they're coming brought up with this culture, they're doing all the rules and regulations, they don't even know why they're doing it. You see so many people coming to the temple, they don't even know what they're doing. You know, the people come in, they ring the bells in the four directions. Dung, 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 dung. And then you ask them, why did you do that? Nothing like that. Or even better is when they're leaving the temple, they ring the bell in the four directions. Dung, 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 dung. There's no instruction in the Shastra that one should ring the bell when one leaves the temple. It's like when you leave someone's house, you ring the doorbell. I'm going now. What's that? Strange. No? So, attached to the rituals, but not understanding what the rituals are about. So the previous chapter, the Yajnik Brahmanas, what is their defect? They're just attached to the rituals, but they have no understanding what the rituals are actually for. Because God himself was close by, and his friends came and said, can you give some bhog? We'll offer over there to Krishna. So that is the perfection of their rituals. The perfection of all of their yajna, their seva, is then to satisfy Krishna. Now Krishna's there. Krishna's a few hundred meters away. Right? And they say, no, we won't give anything. So they've missed the entire point because they're attached to the rules and regulations unnecessarily. So then, in this chapter, Krishna's just left that scene, and now he comes, and then what does he see his father in the village doing? Right? Same thing, worshipping Indra. So Krishna comes in, Krishna has a smile on his face. Because he thinks, now here it goes again. Same thing. Actually, his family are different because they're pure devotees. They're just doing it out of a family tradition. These are initiators of just coming to this world. It's a totally different thing. But still, Krishna is making the point. Krishna is destroying attachment to worship of demigods, which is unnecessary. People worship demigods unnecessarily. Even you go to India now, they worship many devatas. Or you go down here to Karen Downs, they have the temple. Has anyone been down there? Yeah, and I've never been there, but I've heard there's everyone's there.
All in one.
Yeah, all in one.
Yeah.
So you don't miss any chance.
33 million.
Everyone is there. You get an opportunity. So Ganesh, you go around, you do some Ganesh, and then you do some Shiva, and then you do some Brahma, and then Durga is there. Everyone is there. Because then you won't miss out. But the Krishna wants to destroy that unnecessary mentality. Because you just come in here to Radha Vallabha and you worship Krishna with Srimati Radharani, All the demigods are pleased. You can take, as they do in Nandagram, Krishna's home, if you go to his ancestral home in Vrindavan, in Nandagram, you go there, and they have a linga, a Shiva linga. So every day they offer the bowl to Krishna, and then they offer the prasad to Lord Shiva. That's the system. So if in your house you can have Shiva linga, no problem. You have to give the prasad of Krishna to Shiva. If there's any mix-up, Shiva will be very unhappy. So this is the ritualistic ceremonies which are being performed. So Krishna wants to destroy this. So he comes in, he sees that Nanda Maharaj is doing it. He says, what's going on? Who are we worshipping? Why are we worshipping? Why are we doing all this? What is the reason? So Nanda Maharaj says, oh, we've done it for years, and this is our tradition, and this is what we do. So now Krishna wants to destroy this. So in Nectar of Devotion, it says Krishna has 64 qualities. One of the qualities of Krishna is genius. The definition of genius is you can do many things simultaneously. So what's the real reason for the Govardhan Leela? He just wants to be with everyone for 7 days, seven nights. The gopis feel pain because they're with him in the evening time, and daytime they can't be with him. So then he organizes, okay, 7 days, seven nights, that we're all together. You don't have to worry about anything. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, same thing. They can be with him during the day, but nighttime they can't be with him. So the opportunity is there for everyone to be with. Just get one chair. There is an opportunity for everyone to be with Krishna all day. So just leave it over here. Prabhu. Just leave another chair. And then grab yourself a chair. So then that is the opportunity. That's the main purpose of the Leela. It's called the internal. Krishna has external purpose for the Leela and the internal purpose. Bahiranga, Antaranga. Bahiranga means the external reasons, and Antaranga means the internal reasons. So Krishna has internal. The main reason for the Govardhan Leela is just to enjoy. Everything Krishna does is to enjoy. That's the main purpose of the Leelas, the pastimes. Govardhan Leela is just to enjoy, that's all. There was no anxiety under that hill. But externally, he does other things. He smashes Indra's pride, which is about to take place. He destroys or sets the example of to destroy the unnecessary attachment to worshipping the demigods, which is unnecessary, as separate from Krishna. So he wants to do all these things simultaneously. Now he's performing all these. That's what he's about to perform. So now, verse 20, Krishna's mid-stream in terms of his instructions he is giving. So he says, the Brahmana maintains his life by studying and teaching the Vedas, the member of the royal order by protecting the earth, the Vaishya by trade, and the Sudra by serving the higher twice-born classes.
After glorifying karma, or work, Lord Krishna now explains what he means by prescribed duties born of one's nature. He was not referring to any whimsical activity, but rather to the religious duties prescribed in the Varnashram, or Vedic social system.
So what are the points there? Are there any points there? So Krishna is now saying, what should we do? And he's saying to Nanda Maharaj, okay, you're a Vaishya, but what is the actual point of all of these things? Varna and ashram are natural divisions in society. Like all of us here are grihasth. You know, we sit in that ashram. There's four ashrams. We're in the grihastha ashram. So grihastha has duties. Now brahmachari has a different set of duties. Like Dwija was just here. Dwija Pitama was here before. His duties are much different to ours. Sannyas has different duties. Vanaprastha has different duties. So there are certain duties in your ashram. And vana means you have certain duties or responsibilities. Vana is not so much there in Kali Yuga. Just like in the temple. We don't really, we don't look around the room and we don't say, oh, here's Vaishya devotee, here's Chaturi devotee, here's... We don't really do that. There's Sudra devotee, there's Brahman devotee. You know, but traditionally it was there. There was a Varna. Maybe we say, we tend to sometimes say, okay, these devotees are like Brahminical. But we don't so much walk around saying, I am a Brahma. We more emphasize that I am a devotee. Or aspiring devotee, we're trying to be devotees. So that's the system. But previously there was a Varna Ashram system. So the Varnas had certain divisions and each one had their particular duty. But the point that Krishna is making, which is made in the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Samsidya Hari Toshanam. If you do your duties, it must satisfy Krishna. There's no use doing all your ashram duties, being a perfect grihastha, if Krishna's not happy. But you can do everything in the grihastha ashram nicely. The husband and wife can be peaceful, which is rare, but if it's there, we bow. Tell me how you're doing and I'll come to your seminar, how to do it. So that is the, and the husband brings in all the necessities for the family. The wife fulfills all the desires of the children and the husband. That's like perfect grihastha life. Okay? So, but what is the point of it all if one does not develop attachment to Krishna? If Krishna is not satisfied, if Krishna is not in the center, then what's the point? Okay, you can say, oh, such a good grihastha. Is Krishna happy? Is Krishna the center of the relationship? Are the children becoming Krishna conscious? Is the wife and husband becoming Krishna conscious? Are they assisting each other going towards Krishna? That's the main point of the relationship. You do all the externals, but if you're not helping each other, all the members become Krishna conscious, then Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It's a waste of time, of human energy. My Guru Maharaj was up there in that double room, not the inner room, that's up there. I was in there with him. And there's some grihasthas talking out on the landing. And he was listening, his sannyasi, he was listening. And he looked at me, I was brahmacharya at the time. He looked at me and he said, it's a waste of energy. It's a waste of energy. And he was preaching to me like that, so I'd stay brahmacharya for the rest of my life. But I always remember that. Now I am grihastha, but I always think like that. If grihastha life is not leading you to Krishna, then what's the point? It's a waste of energy. Why put the effort in? If you're not Krishna conscious, if your wife's not Krishna conscious, and your children are not Krishna, why do it? What's the point? What did you do? Huh? If you can't offer something to Krishna, what did you do? Huh? You cook dinner at home, beat tally, idli. Uttapan, dosha, no hints. Yeah. Like that, all these things, right? You cook it all, and then the deity gets some sultanas and some rock candy, milk. Oh, that's opulent. Sometimes I see everyone's eating like opulent, and the deity just gets like some little like that. That's not the point. Well, sometimes Prabhupada points out the deity's kept in a room under the stairs. It happens. The deity's in like this room under the stairs, and then the family has the rest of the house. Now, the deity gets the best room, and then you work around. When you move into your house, that you start thinking like that. Okay, where's the deity? Where's his room? Well, sometimes I go to the grihastha's house, and the deities are there, and the television's in the same room. I personally don't think that's appropriate. Watch the television and just chat. Or the table, the dining table is also in the same room as the deities. For me, I don't. Some devotees do it, but I don't find that appropriate. I wouldn't feel comfortable. Excuse me, I'm just going to eat for a minute. And the deities are just there. I give Giri Raj his own room. He has his room. That's like the temple room. That's the sacred room. When I go in there, it's all about him. Yeah, I don't want him out in the lounge room where we're just talking prajalpa. What'd you do at school today? And my daughter does cartwheels across the room, and I don't want him to witness all these things. So, give him his own space. So the point is, Krishna should be in the center. Krishna is in the center of the house, and everything else is just assisting that. So that's what Krishna is pointing out here. Do all your duties properly, but if you're not bringing him to the center, then what's the point? What did you achieve for the whole thing? So Krishna, it's an amazing pastime. We have to meditate. To understand these pastimes, you have to meditate very deeply. Now, how old is Krishna at this point? 7, 8, like that. How does a 7 or 8 year old derail an entire yajna? You know, imagine, you know, Brinda's what, 7 or something?
9.
9, okay, so 9. Imagine Brinda like derailing everything. Like she comes in here, we're having class. She says, no, we're not talking about the right things. We'll talk about this today. And she speaks in such a way that we all start listening and like, oh wow, she actually knows more. You know, and then we all start listening. That's what Krishna's like. Krishna is so powerful. You listen to these verses, there's a 7 or 8 year old boy. He's speaking so charmingly and so expertly and with such knowledge and depth of realization. You know, he's already danced on Kaliya's hoods. You know, he's already shown everyone he's not ordinary. You know, they're already talking in the village. Everyone's saying, you know, Gargacharya, the guru of the village, has already said that he's non different from Narayan. So basically, you know, and then now he comes and he says, Father, why are we doing this? And they're just looking and they say, well, this is why we're doing it. He says, no, don't do that. And then he starts speaking eloquently. And now he says, you know, the four varnas, you're supposed to act like this in the four varnas. And everyone's like, you know, imagine Brinda was speaking like some kids can speak like that. Everyone starts listening. You know, when a child speaks knowledge or wisdom, everyone becomes captivated. So Krishna, he's so powerful in his presentation, he derails the whole thing. You know? Yeah, okay, we've worshipped this God for years, for generations, but this is not what we should be doing. Right? And everyone follows him. That's how powerful Krishna is. You have to meditate on this very deeply. He's approaching Kaishora Leela now. You have to meditate on the way he looks, the way he speaks. You know, this is a meditation. We're meant to absorb ourselves. And your japa is meant to lead to this. You're meant to meditate on him. It says Nama Rupa Guna Leela. So from the Nam comes the Rupa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says when you become advanced, automatically the Rupa will come when you say the Nam. You chant Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna will manifest that. It's a meditation, a deep meditation. You have these qualities, these guna. He's showing his qualities. He's a genius. He's an expert speaker. These are some of his 64 qualities. His Leela. You can meditate on this Govardhan Leela while you're chanting. So this is advanced, but this is what the 10th canto is for, to lead us into this meditation. So Krishna is just joking with Indra. He's just smiling the whole time. Krishna's always like that. He's always smiling. Yeah. Just like I was listening on the radio before I was driving up here. So then I turn the radio on and listen to the news. On the farm, I don't listen to the news. I don't look at the news on the internet. I occasionally see something, but you know, I'm fairly out of touch. So I just clock in once a week to find out, you know, what's going on out there in the world. And then they'll speak on the radio something about how many people have depression these days. And it's like an epidemic. So many people are depressed and that there's, you know, problems. Krishna is exactly the opposite. Yeah. And if you're suffering from depression, then hang out with Krishna. Because he's always happy and he just smiles the whole time. And while he's chastising you, it's just for him it's just play. He's saying to his father, yeah, Indra, because he knows Indra is going to get really angry. But Krishna's just playing with him. Indra, you've got a problem. You're way too proud. So I have to bring you down. But for him, the whole time he does, he just smiles. You see him, you know, when you go into the temple, you're going to have darshan. You know, have you ever gone through a really hard time in your life? Like really difficult time? You go in to see him and he's just smiling at you. He's just like, huh? What to do? Huh? What is your problem today? And you look at him and you say, you're wrecking my life. And he just goes, how do you like it? Huh? And he says, why don't you come and live with me? Why don't you come and live here with me in Vrindavan? Why are you living out there where it's all chaos. Huh? Why don't you come and live here? He just smiles the whole time. What's your problem? I don't have a problem. What is your problem? Come and live with me, you'll be happy. Now, Prabhupada says this. Every day there's the calendar, you know, you turn over every day. So I turn over, I've had the same calendar for years. There's one day of the year, I don't know which day it is, but you turn it over. And Prabhupada says something like that. He said, Krishna's always happy. He's in bliss. And Prabhupada says something to the effect that if we are associating with Krishna, we will also feel like that. Blissful. So if you want to be happy, just read the Bhagavad Gita. It's like, you know, in my life at the moment, there's problems. I've got some problems in my family, people close to me, but they've got some serious problems. So, you know, it weighs down. It's like, you know, you always feel like there's this heavy energy, which is there. Then, you know, today, so I open up the Bhagavad Gita, you know, I just feel like, okay, here it is. I just dive in and kind of hide. Just get inside the Bhagavad Gita, you know. Yeah, because when I'm in here, I don't have to worry about all the crazy stuff. And then I come out, and it's like, oh God, you know, what's going to happen next? Someone's going to ring me or something like that. It's like, too much. Too much. Everyone's envious in this material world. That's the problem. Niyamatsara. The Bhagavad Gita, for those who don't have envy. In the material world, everyone is envy. Because they envy each other, they're always causing problems to each other. Okay? And I'm in the middle of it. I have to deal with this side and that side, and they're all, you know, having their problems with each other. It's all just envy. And why is it happening? Because they're not reading the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes I say to them, when was the last time you read the Bhagavad Gita?
Me?
Not you, I'm saying. All the crazy people I have to deal with. And that's actually their problem. Because if they're absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita, they wouldn't be like this. That's a problem in our life too. When we're not in the Bhagavad Gita, we get too crazy. Material world a key?
Why don't you have classes for 3-4 hours today?
Why don't we have class for 3 or 4 hours? Prabhupada said in the morning and the evening. That's enough. In the morning and the evening. And if you've got time, now you're older, so you don't have so much to do in life. So you can read more.
Everybody tells me too, probably.
Yeah, when you're older, you can tell people to give the rest.
Yeah.
You say, hey, I'm older now. I did everything for you. You can say that. When Prabhupada was old, he said, I can say things that you cannot say.
Yeah.
You can get away with it. Just get on there.
What can I do if they're in trouble? They're always involving me.
It's a problem.
Just solve it.
I was hoping when I get old, I'm going to be peaceful, but now. You're destroying my hopes. Thank you for wrecking my life.
I know the truth from you.
Yeah, no. That's why when you come to the class, you say all these things, and then I get all my hopes are destroyed. Like, I really thought I was going to have a peaceful old age. It doesn't stop. Even when you're about to die, they're about to light your fire, then they come up and say, hey, what about this? And then when you're dying, they say, he didn't do this. And when your body is burning, they say, he didn't do that either. How come I'm not in the will? Everyone's crazy in this world, man. 100%. 100%. The only normal people are in this room. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. The occupational duties of the Vaishyas are conceived in 4 divisions: farming, commerce, cow protection, and money lending. Out of these, we as a community are always engaged in cow protection. So, what is Krishna doing in this pastime?
Yeah. He's making it really clear that he wants you to protect the cows, and that by doing that, so you're serving him.
Yeah, good. Yeah, he establishes several things here, right? One is Gopuja, one is Govardhan Puja. Because up until now, they haven't been emphasized enough. So Krishna wants to say, this is the main puja. If you want to worship someone, you worship Govardhan Hill and the cows. Above and beyond everything, practically. These are like Krishna's most favored personalities. Krishna himself, his original form, established Govardhan Puja. That's why we do it every year. We do a Govardhan. Do you like Govardhan Puja? No. Where are you usually when it's on? Melbourne? Yeah. It's nice in Melbourne. I haven't been in Melbourne for years. It's a good festival in Melbourne. Yeah, I remember when I was young. I actually haven't been since the 90s. I haven't been in Melbourne for Govardhan Puja. But last time I was there, Prabhava was a brahmachari. You know, Prabhava Puri, he's just come back. I don't know if you know him. He just came back to Melbourne like that. Last time there in the 90s, he was a brahmachari. I was a brahmachari. And it was ecstatic. He was leading kirtan. Running around the hill, 90 miles an hour, around the hill. I don't think you can do that now, there's too many people there, but so fun. And everything was sweaty, because we were running so much, so perspiration. And then there was, must have been prasadam on the floor, I think. And something on the floor, everything was slippery. We was running around like, ecstatic. So Govardhan Puja is blissful. No? These days, last few years, I'm in Mayapur. Very, very ecstatic festival. Yeah, right there in front of Radha Madhava or Panchatattva. Okay. 2 years ago was the best one. They decorated the altar in the most amazing way, Radha Madhava's altar. The whole roof was Govardhan Hill, and they put lights in there, and the lights were flashing the whole time like lightning. It was the most that was amazing. So the point is, Krishna is establishing this festival, right? Because Govardhan must be worshipped. By the devotees. We take shelter of Giriraj. This is what this pastime is showing. Who is Giriraj? We'll explain this in the next two classes. And then, Gopuja. You must worship cows. Prabhupada emphasizes this all through his teachings. Prabhupada says, if you read Prabhupada's books all the way through, and you listen to his lectures, and you listen to his preaching, his main emphasis is the problems in the world are coming from cow slaughter. Right. So Krishna is establishing exactly the opposite. Govardhan Puja. Go Puja. On the same day we have Go Puja, Govardhan Puja. Worship the cows. So last year we had Go Puja at New Nandagram at the farm. And Vedavyas Maharaj came. Vedavyas Puri Maharaj. And then he gave a nice lecture. And this point stuck in my head ever since then. He said, so we have Mother's Day. So we have Father's Day, we all have birthdays, so what about Cow Day? And there's non-devotees were there. It was nice, because I was watching all the non-devotees, their faces. And they were, makes sense. If you worship Gomata, protect her, worship her, look after her, society will be peaceful. And society cannot be peaceful if this is disturbed. And Australia is number two in the world for cow slaughter. And you know who our biggest customer is? America. 44% of our beef goes to America. So it's crazy. So Krishna is the opposite. Krishna is saying, everyone, stop. Stop slaughtering the cows. Worship Govardhan Hill, worship the cows. And everything will be peaceful for us and for the world.
India is advancing now their ban.
Cow slaughter.
Which one is the first? The number one.
India. Yeah, still, it's still the biggest, even if they banned it. So I don't know what's going on.
Very strict.
Very strict?
Yeah. Cows are not produced by them or exported.
Or exported?
So
it must be
gone. It's still going on.
There must be something going on. They were number one, and Australia's number two. I don't know what the figures are now, but you know, I mean, if they've stopped it, that's... Yeah, Modi.
In Gujarat, they have put a stop. In Gujarat.
No cow.
Stop.
No cow slaughter. That's good. Yeah, so that means Dharma is coming back again. What Chaitanya predicted, there would be a golden age. So this is the golden age.
The actress came on my name. She appeared in a public meeting, and the girl asked, "Why are you? How come you are so young still?" And looking at her, she said, "Well, I sleep early, and I get up in the morning, and I am vegetarian, and everybody should be vegetarian."
She's a devotee of Krishna.
Yeah, I met her. She came to Australia.
Yeah, she was here.
Late 90s.
Yeah.
Kita Raj Prabhu brought her here. Yeah, I mean, she came to our temple.
And she took asking from Gopal Krishna.
She takes?
Counseling from Gopal Krishna.
Counseling from Gopal Krishna, yeah. Yeah, she's a nice lady. The causes of creation, maintenance, and destruction are the three modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. In particular, the mode of passion creates this universe and through sexual combination causes it to become full of variety. Mm. So this is God himself preaching. What is he preaching? It's called atheism. And this is God himself. Krishna, he's just joking around. This is God himself saying there's no God. The mode of passion is control of everything. The gunas are supreme. You hear this in India. Yeah. The gunas are supreme. Or whatever's supreme. Every day is different. Just depends which train you get on, who you're sitting with. You know, everyone has a fight. Hey, gunas are supreme, or this is supreme, or that is supreme. Or, well, sometimes I've met some people, they say, Varaha Devi is supreme. And then I'll quote some verse. But no, actually, Krishna is supreme. So this is very humorous. Krishna is just joking around. He says, actually, the three modes are supreme. Right, so he's saying to Nanda Maharaj, Rajaguna is supreme. Just do your work. So he's just playing around. At the end, we'll read it as we go a bit further. Sridhar Swami says, he says five or six things. And it's all atheism. It's very humorous. You know, God himself saying there's no God. That the modes are in control or something else is in control. Karma is supreme. Giving different philosophies. Impelled by the material mode of passion, the clouds pour down their rain everywhere. And by this rain, all creatures gain their sustenance. What has the great Indra to do with this arrangement? My dear father, our home is not in the cities or towns or villages. Being forest dwellers, we always live in the forest and on the hills. So he's saying we are hill dwellers, we are forest people, therefore worship the hill. The hill is it, so worship the hill. We're dependent on the hill. Now, because it's Vrindavan, the hill is not ordinary. But it's like, you know, if we're somewhere, you know, we drive over towards Dandenong, and someone says, just worship the Dandenong Ranges. They are supreme. Everything comes from the Dandenong Ranges. Right? The water comes down. We grow our food there. Everything is coming from the Dandenongs. So you could say like that. But because he's in Vrindavan, and Giriraj is non-different from Krishna, then it is a fully spiritual statement. So Krishna's playing around. He's saying something that sounds simplistic, but actually it has the deepest meaning. Because Govardhan Hill is non-different from Krishna. It's non-different. Govardhan Hill is Krishna. We'll explain more in the next few classes. But he is Krishna. Non-different. You know, I have Giriraj in my house. I used to bring him to Melbourne. My wife won't let me. Sometimes I have to make compromises because I come every week to teach this course, so we had to make a deal. She said, okay, you can go, but he stays. But he's always with me. He's always with me. Since I've had him for 10 years, he's always with me all the time. I don't go anywhere where he's not. We're always together. But then she said, no, he has to stay here. You can go, but he stays. So I live with him. Every day, Govardhan, I take darshan of him every day, I worship him every day, he is there. Govardhan, Shiva. And I know that he is non-different from Krishna. He changes my life. His association purifies me. So he's not like an ordinary hill. I remember years ago, my mother-in-law, I was doing the puja and she walked in. You know, I'm like, you know, I'm a grown man, you know, like 40-something years old, and I'm sitting there on the ground, you know, wearing a piece of cloth on the ground. I'm worshipping, you know, bathing, massaging and bathing a rock. And she just walked in, she just looked at me. She just goes... She just walked out. You know, this is what we are. We spend our life, you know, massaging rocks and bowing before them and bathing them and offering food to them. And so they think that we are not. they think we are Pagal. Because Krishna is saying here, worship the hill, that the hill is God himself. It is non-different from God. I remember Radhanath Swami was there in Govinda. He's taking his yatra around Govinda. You know, thousands of devotees. So they sat down, and Maharaj said, look at us. We worship a rock. We worship a plant. He said, the world thinks we are crazy. And Prabhupada was so bold, he brought this to the West. And he said to the Western people, bow down before this plant. I remember one time, you know, we do Tulsi Puja every morning. One time, Anuruddha Prabhu brought the scouts. Scout group came. So they stayed overnight. I think they slept here in the theater. And they got up for Mangalati. And then after Mangalati, we did a Tulsi Puja. And then we all walk around. And then we all bow down before the plant. All the scouts are just looking at each other like... You know, the plant bowing, rock worshipping people. We're very extraordinary. And yet we know, we are convinced that stone is non-different from God himself. And I know that stone is God. I know. And we all know. You know, because I live with him. And I go in there, and as soon as I go in, I see him. He always smiles at me. My life, like I said, something gets crazy. All this crazy. But I walk in, I see him, and he just smiles. It's like, you know, what's going on today? I was looking at him, I said, it's crazy out there. He goes, I know. I know. You should live with me. Why don't you come back to Goloka, where it's not crazy? So I say to him, I'm trying. I'm not very good at doing it, but I'm trying to go back and live with you.
Sanatana Goswami was going every day for Parikrama. And ultimately, when he was 80, Krishna gave his stone. Still there. Lala Damodar Temple.
Lala Damodar Temple, yeah. You can see the Shiva every day. So this is, Krishna is saying like this.
I can't understand how the material mode of passion makes the thing.
Indra is in the mode of passion. The demigods are in the mode of passion. So, it's a technical question.
So that's why
the curse
pour rainwater.
Yeah, it says rainwater when it rains. Just like, did it rain here yesterday?
Yes.
Heavy.
Yes.
Yeah, the farm was heavy. Like big rain. So yeah, big rain. When that rain drops, it says in the Bhagavatam, you should not drink the rain water. You have to let it sit for, I think it says, a month. Because when it first drops, it's in passion. You drink the rainwater as soon as you fill up your cup from the rain and then drink it. You know, you can do it, but it has a passionate energy, rajagun. It says when it sits for a month, I think it is, then it becomes sattva. It becomes calm and still.
I thought it was because of the dust.
Could be. Yeah, the Bhagavatam also, it also says Rajagun is there. It says that water is in Rajagun. Okay. My dear father, which one are we up to?
Okay.
Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill begin. With all the paraphernalia collected for worshipping Indra, let this sacrifice be performed instead. Mm. So Krishna is establishing these three things. These three things will make your life successful. What are they? Yeah, you have to worship these three. Now you have to worship. Brahmanas means saintly people. Basically, it means devotees. If anyone's a devotee, you have to worship them. Rupa Goswami says, if someone's equal to you, you bow. If someone's superior, you bow, you serve. If someone's junior, you give mercy. You assist them to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So with devotees, that's what it means. Brahmanas, it means, for us, it just means the devotees. It means all the members in ISKCON. Not just, I mean, if someone's a Brahminical devotee, then you may offer even more respect. But the basic premise is you have to respect the devotees, you have to serve the devotees. You have to serve the cows and you have to serve Govardhan Hill. And Krishna is saying this will give complete success. Let many kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetable soups, many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken for this sacrifice. So what do they offer? What do they offer to Giriraj? Yeah, natural opulence. What is natural opulence? Yeah, it's food, right? That's opulence. Just like these days, you go to the supermarket, what you buy most of the time is not food. It's processed. As soon as something is processed, it diminishes its value. So real opulence, I mean, what's life about really? It's about what we eat. Basically, that's what our life is all about. In the old days, before they had processed food, you know, you get up in the morning, you have to prepare the food, you have to grind the grains, you have to grind the dal, you have to get everything ready, then you have to cook it, then you have to clean up, and by the time you finish, then what happens? You start cooking lunch. By the time that finishes, then all the men are out there, you know, with the bulls and pulling everything out and growing the sabji. Have you been to the Jagannath Mandir in Mayapur? Jagannath Mandir in Mayapur? So ask them, next time you're there, ask them to take you to Kola Becha Sridhar's place. Have you been there? Just over behind. And if you walk, like, I couldn't believe it. Chandan was with me, Ali was with me last year. That was the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life. You walk behind, everything is there in that few acres. Every type of sabji, dal is growing, rice is growing, cows are grazing. That's natural opulence. So you take all of that and they offer that to Jagannath.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's real opulence.
Birds are singing.
Birds are singing. Yeah, it was. It was heavenly. The only defect was there's a telephone line going through the mill. Kali Yuga had to be there. There's this concrete pole and you're thinking, it doesn't look natural. Look like, it felt like you're in Satya Yuga and suddenly it's just a bit of Kali Yuga there. So,
and the generator's going on, the noise of generators there.
Yeah, generators in the background. Just to let you know you're in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, it felt like Satya Yuga. The place was so. So, Krishna, he said to all the bridge buses, offer everything to Giriraj. So they cooked all sorts of opulent preparations. If you go to do Govardhan Puja, if you walk from Dangati down to Aniyor, that village, and you see that. Kind of all the valleys and that there, that's where all the offerings are done. That's called Anukuchetra. So that it says that there were lakes of sweet rice. There were mountains of kachoris, mountains of samosas, mountains of pakoras, sabjis, everything you can think of, every single item, jalebis, everything, gulab jamun, mountains, offered to Giriraj. This is natural opulence. So Krishna is saying, if you want to live satisfied, if you want to satisfy the Lord, offer him the best things. Just get the best ingredients, make the best preparations, and offer that to him. And then Krishna will be satisfied, and you'll be satisfied because you'll have Mahaprasadam. So that is the system. So Krishna is showing us how to live and how to worship the Lord, what satisfies him. Krishna doesn't like processed things. We shouldn't eat it either. Although, you know, everyone in Kali Yuga, try to avoid processed stuff. Not good. chips and all these things, twisties and basically what's in your bag. Not good for you. And in America, 60% of the people are obese. And you know what they found out the main cause is? Soft drinks. Soft drink, the main cause of obesity. Because the people just drink it. Every can of Coke has 14 teaspoons of sugar. You drink that and your body doesn't know what to do with all that energy. And then that's why everyone in America is walking around like that. Because just too much processed food. Okay. Is it
27?
The Brahmanas who are learned in the Vedic mantras must properly invoke the sacrificial fires. Then you should feed the priests with nicely prepared food and reward them with cows and other gifts. Yeah.
When he says priests here, does he mean Brahmins?
Yeah. So this is the system. How do you please Krishna?
By pleasing the devotees,
yeah. What does Krishna say in the Adi Purana to Arjuna? One who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. One who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So this is what Krishna is saying here. Feed the brahmanas. Feed them nicely. He's saying to Nanda Maharaj, just feed them. Satisfy them. Give them prasad as much as they want. You know what ISKCON's like. In ISKCON, we've got the other problem. We've got too much. too much prasad. It's actually a problem. Because Prabhupada came to Sydney in 1972, and devotees were eating halva for lunch. Right? And when Prabhupada arrived in Sydney, he said, stop that immediately. He said, rice, dal, sabji, chapati. He said, once a week you have a feast, up to the neck. Prabhupada said, once a week, up to the neck. As much as you like. Rest of the week, rice, dal, sabji, chapati. Simple. Like that. We don't do that in ISKCON. Even though Prabhupada said that. But after giving the appropriate food to everyone else, including such fallen souls as dogs and dog eaters, you should give grass to the cows and then present your respectful offerings to Govardhan Hill. So we should invoke the blessings of every living entity. Prabhupada actually says, this is one comment by Prabhupada, he said that when you take prasad, right, first you should go outside your house and you should call out three times, prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. Anyone want prasadam? So you can do that outside your flats. Go and stand out the front and say, hey, prasadam. No one will know what you're talking about. You say, prasadam, prasadam. No, but the point is, it's your responsibility to feed everyone. And Prabhupada says, even the dogs, they should be fed as well. And my wife and daughter, they're always, Bronte, our dog on the farm, always feeding Bronte. Yeah. And I see that they have natural compassion. They're more advanced than me. Because I don't think like that. I just think, you know, let's just take prasad. They're always thinking, oh, make sure Bronte has enough. Right? And Prabhupada even said in the one purport, he said, you should even make sure the snakes are fed. And my wife said, I'm not going to follow that. Because they can stay for a while. Not going to follow. But the point is, you should look after all the living entities. As a grihastha, that's your dharma. Make sure no one goes hungry in your village. That's the system.
Our persons are all the way.
What is that?
Our persons are all the way.
All the leftovers are. Yeah.
So the first one is the priest.
Yep.
But why the cows are not the next? Why the other people are the next?
I don't know why Krishna's doing particular order, but his basic premise is everyone should get fed. That's another interesting point, because Govardhan Hill, technically, according to this description, hasn't even been worshipped yet. Normally when we do a Govardhan Puja, we offer all the boga to Giriraj, then we take prasad. But Krishna's saying here to do it the other way. Like that. But the basic premise is everything should be offered too. So that. Bhaktivinoda Purnamaraj did say in one lecture, he said that when you're serving prasad, because sometimes like in Mayapur, for example, when you serve, it's 2,000 devotees, so it's going to take hours to serve. So he said that the servants can sit down and say prasad first if that's going to make their minds more peaceful. If they can serve without eating and they can eat at the end, that's nice. But if your mind's going to be totally disturbed, then take some prasadam, be satisfied, and then sit down and serve everyone. So maybe Krishna's saying here, feed everyone, make sure everyone's happy, and then, because when they did Govardhana Puja, it was going to take hours to do all that cooking and everything. So maybe he's saying it like that. But usually when we do it, we first serve Guru Raj, then we take the prasad.
No, I would ask you that after the priest was done or the cows.
Yeah, I saw what's there. I'm not sure what the order is. Why Krishna say he's saying this and that and that. I'm not sure why he's doing with that. When you're there, it's a lot easier because you can just follow along. Okay. After everyone has eaten to his satisfaction, you should all dress and decorate yourselves handsomely, smear your bodies with sandalwood paste, and then circumambulate the cows, the brahmanas, and the sacrificial fires, and Govardhan Hill. Yep.
Is it possible when you mean worship the cows and Govardhan Hill, you mean worship them that way, but the food's offered first to them?
What is it?
So here you're saying worshipping is circumambulating. So maybe the prasad is first, then give it to everybody, and then do the worship after one.
The main thing is just follow whatever they do in the temple. Yeah, you go to Mayapur, you're here in Melbourne. The system is we offer the bhoga to the deity, we circumambulate, we do the puja, do the kirtan, then we take prasad. So follow that. That's good. So here, Krishna says, these are the elements which must be in a festival to make the festival auspicious. Everyone must dress very beautifully. So that's the Vedic system. You see, when we have a festival, everyone wears their best saris, you dress nicely, the men. Actually, in the Vedic system, you wear a turban. So you should all wear turbans now. That's actually the system. We don't do it now because we might feel a little strange, but actually the system is everyone should wear a turban. Everyone should wear... You see all the pictures with Nanda Maharaj? Yeah, they have beautiful jeweled earrings. And Nanda Maharaj is wearing pearls and, we should be very opulent. We don't do that now because the men, that's not the culture at this point in time. But typically, the men were dressed very much like the ladies, full of jewels and opulence and like rajas. That was the traditional system. So Krishna says, it's auspicious. When there's a festival, everyone should dress very nicely. And the tradition is, technically, you should always wear new cloth. Technically, we don't always do that, but that's the tradition. In India, they do that. Whenever there's a festival, my friend Atul, Krishna Prabhu, his wife, always... There's a festival, always a new sari. You should never wear a sari that's been worn before to a festival. So that's the tradition. So Krishna says, dress beautifully, distribute prasadam, and make sure the deity is worshipped properly. So these three elements, Prabhupada, when he established ISKCON, he said no function is complete if there's not prasadam distribution. And in 26 Second Avenue, when Prabhupada began the Hare Krishna movement, sometimes all they had, when Prabhupada give class on a Wednesday night, he would give class to a kirtan, and at the end, sometimes all they had was an apple. The Prabhupada would cut the apple up, offer the apple, cut it up, and make sure everyone took a piece of apple. Because he said, every time we do a program, there must be prasadam distribution. That's what differentiates us from everyone else. If you go to the Buddhists, sometimes the Buddhists run a program across the road in the hall, but they don't give out food. And that's what differentiates us. There must be prasadam distribution because it purifies the consciousness of the living entities. And the worship must be proper, and must be authorized. The worship must be regular, and it must be according to authorization. In this temple, we have one of the highest deity worship standards in the planet. Very nice festivals. Our festivals are much grander than most temples in ISKCON. In Mayapur and Vrindavan, they're big. Maybe they're slightly more elaborate than us. Maybe.
No function is complete without prasad.
Yeah, prasad. But the actual festival itself, it must follow very nice standard. Here we're very fortunate because we have very high standards in our festivals and our deity worship. So these three things, dress nicely, very nice worship of the deity, and nice prasadam distribution. So Krishna established all of this. This is my idea, O Father, and you may carry it out if it appeals to you. Such a sacrifice will be very dear to the cows, the brahmanas, and Govardhan Hill, and also to me. Shukadev Goswami said, Lord Krishna, who is himself powerful time, destined to destroy the false pride of Lord Indra, when Nanda and the other senior men of Vrindavan heard Sri Krishna's statement, they accepted his words as proper. The cowherd community then did all that Madhusudan had suggested. They arranged for the brahmanas to recite the auspicious Vedic mantras, and using the paraphernalia that had been intended for Indra's sacrifice, they presented offerings to Govardhan Hill and the brahmanas with reverential respect. They also gave grass to the cows, then placing the cows, bulls, and calves in front of them, they circumambulated Govardhan Hill. So, the Brijbasis, they followed Krishna, even against their tradition. The tradition said we must do Indra Puja on this day. And Krishna said, no, we should not do Indra Puja, we should do Gol Puja and Govardhan Puja. Now they followed Krishna. Now how did they know they were right? How did they know this was the right thing to do? Because the Brijbasis are under the influence of the Daivi Prakriti. Mahatmanas Tumam Parata, Daivim Prakritim Ashrita, Krishna says in the Gita. The devotees are in the internal energy. When you're in the internal energy and you follow Krishna's instructions, what is the result? We become blissful. So you know when Krishna is pleased because you will feel blissful. Hands up if you feel blissful in Krishna consciousness. Good. Seven of you. Good. We should feel blissful every day in Krishna consciousness. Because if you're following Krishna's instructions, you will feel blissful. And if we're not following them, that's why we're not feeling blissful. It's very simple. Because Krishna is in the internal energy. And if we follow his instructions, it will result in feeling ecstatic. So you see the Brijbasis, you know, the tradition is saying one thing, and then the boy comes along and he says, no, let's do something else. But because they understand this boy is divine, they don't see him exactly as God, but they say he's none different from Narayan. He's such an exalted personality, he's speaking so perfectly. He always leads us to auspiciousness. They follow him and they just feel blissful and everything is perfect. So they all start circumambulating Govardhan Hill. And when you circumambulate Govardhan Hill, how do you feel? What's your favorite day of the year? Just think, for the next 2017, you know all the festivals that will come and all the things you do. What is your favorite day? Janmashtami. Yeah. What is your favorite day? Anyone? Any other day? Radhashtami. Ah, biased. No? Some people like Radha more than Krishna. Okay. So what's your favorite day? My favorite day is Govardhan Parikrama. Yeah. If I go to Govardhan Hill and I go around, that's my favorite day of the year. Because when I have that experience, I feel there's nothing else to be had. Because I'm with Guru Raj all day, going around him. Right? Last year we did it on Purnima, the busiest day of the year, last day of Kartik. I don't know how many people there, 400,000, 4 lakhs or something, everyone going around together, but we just felt blissful. How did Aliyah feel?
I regretted not walking the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, if I could go back, I would do it again, but walking only, no rickshaw.
No rickshaw, yeah.
But very happy.
Very happy, yeah. How was Chandan?
It was a magnificent moment.
Yeah,
that's
the best.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the best. There's nothing better. Only one thing is better. That's spending the day at Radhakund.
Radhe, Radhe.
That's the only thing that's more powerful. like that. But you go around Radhakund as well when you do Govardhan Parikram. But it's the most blissful experience. So the Brijbasis, Krishna says, let's just worship Govardhan here. They all do it and everyone's just in bliss. And then Indra gets upset. His conscience is very strange. Everyone's happy and then he has to come and Krishna says, and so he just lifts up the hill. Okay, everyone come underneath. We'll keep being happy. When this guy gets it out of his system, then we'll put the hill down and then we'll have a talk. Like that.
Krishna has such attraction that everybody gets attracted. Just like the magnet attracts the iron.
Yeah, he's all attractive.
Yeah.
Indra just had to get the right mentality.
Yeah.
Once the mentality was good then.
Yeah.
As the beautifully ornamented cowherd ladies followed along, riding on wagons drawn by oxen, they sang the glories of Lord Krishna and their songs mingled with the Brahmana's chanting of benedictions. So they glorify Krishna harmoniously. Things devotees should cooperate. That's the point. Cooperate. Everyone should cooperate. What did Prabhupada say when he left this planet? He said, the proof of how much you love me is how much you all cooperate once I am gone. So we should cooperate. They're singing and the Brahmanas are singing, they all sing so it's all harmonious. Sometimes you know, one devotee is doing kirtan, then the other devotee is doing the kirtan, and sometimes you're in the kitchen, everyone's cooking, and one devotee is chanting one thing. If I hear a devotee chanting, I try to chant what they're chanting. They're chanting a nice tune, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then sometimes I start singing with them harmoniously. Otherwise, one devotee is singing Hare Krishna, and the other one over there singing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's like all these different tunes going on. So we should be harmonious. It should be all together to satisfy Krishna. So the Brijbasis are like that. If we cooperate, then everything goes on nicely. Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form to instill faith in the cowherd men, declaring, I am Govardhan Mountain. He ate the abundant offerings. So we'll discuss this in more detail tomorrow night, but Krishna is showing he is none different from Govardhan. They're not different. So we'll go into more detail tomorrow night about how they're not different. Together with the people of Braj, the Lord bowed down to this form of Govardhan Hill. Thus in effect, offering obeisances to himself. Then he said, just see how this hill has appeared in person and bestowed mercy upon us.
Does this mean he ate himself? Or the offering?
He what?
He ate himself.
Ate himself?
I mean, it says in Under 35, I am Govardhan Mountain. He ate abundant offerings.
Yeah, all the boga.
So he ate. He kept eating himself.
The offerings.
Yeah, the offering. Then he is declaring, I am Govardhan Hill. And then he says, he ate the abundant offerings.
Yeah, Govardhan Hill was eating the offerings.
So there are two lines for you. One, Krishna is saying, I am Govardhan Hill.
Yes.
And then he ate all the offerings. So
it's Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna was not eating. Govardhan Hill was eating. Krishna was standing there on the ground with everyone else, and Giriraj was eating all the offerings.
How can we understand the first line only? I'm Govardhan Mountain.
Because he was non-different from the hill. Tomorrow night I'll explain a little bit more about the past line. The basic premise is Krishna and Govardhan Hill are the same personality.
He said that Krishna then assumed an unprecedented huge form.
Yeah.
So he became big and then he had everything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, I'll explain it tomorrow night.
Okay.
Because it'll take a little bit more time to explain.
Okay.
This Govardhan Hill, assuming any form he wishes, will kill any resident of the forest who neglects him. Therefore, let us pay our obeisances to him for the safety of ourselves and our cows. So it says in the purport that if someone offends Giriraj, Giriraj will come in the form of a snake or a wild animal, and he will kill that person. So don't offend Govardhan Hill. Don't offend God. Don't offend any form of Krishna. You know, if you commit any offense to the deities, just, you know, I remember I offended Govardhan Hill one time. I stepped on a Shila. I was doing parikrama. I didn't realize, but I stepped on the Shila. And I got some reactions the next few days, but I felt very bad for stepping on the Shila. So, and then I got some reactions, but then I thought, you know, Giriraj is just being merciful to me. You know, because he, some offense was there. So be very careful. Don't offend the deities. Always treat the deities with great respect. And if you offend them, like seriously, like people somehow offend Giriraj, then Giriraj will kill them. So be very careful how you deal.
You mean the part of this song wasn't.
Yeah, you're doing Govardhan Parikram, but then I wasn't watching properly, I stepped on one of the Shilas and then.
But the Shila right there.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. But it was just something between me and Giriraj, just something I did. There's a time when I shouldn't have.
Okay.
I should have been more careful. I was neglectful. And he. But I did the wrong thing. So. The members of the cowherd community, having thus been inspired by Lord Vasudev to properly execute the sacrifice to Govardhan Hill, the cows and the Brahmanas returned with Lord Krishna to their village,
Braja.
So tomorrow night we'll hear what happened next. What happened next? Someone gets upset. Always in the material world, someone has to get upset, isn't it?
Yep.
Doesn't matter what you do, someone has to get upset. So everything was nice, and then Indra. So tomorrow night we'll hear more. Shula Prabhupada ki jai.